this is not my smallest crowd I've ever preached to. So I preached in a group of three people, so me included. So anyway, we're going to present this lesson, and it'll be like all my other lessons. It will be put on the internet and shared with others. One thing we always need to have is the idea of a key to a joyful, productive life. This is based on Romans 12 and verse 12, where it says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." And these set us up. See, suppose that we all have known Christians who go through life looking like they were weaned on a pickle, right? I mentioned that last week. People take it so seriously that they don't ever smile. They think that if they smile, they might be displaying the idea of they're having fun. And of course, they're saying spiritual life should not be fun. Well, we have to disagree with that, because we're commanded over and over to be joyful. So, we're going to talk about that. See, useless for any good work when things were going rough for them. And then they get that point. They're just useless for that. But we have also known Christians who are the opposite. They're joyful, steadfast in doing good. And that's what we encourage people to be. And even though they are experiencing the same kind of hardships, we all going through the same stuff all the time. Every day we deal with the same people. They might have different faces or different skin color or something, but we're still dealing with different people. And there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, the idiots you deal with, the same idiots I deal with. And then, of course, there's a few smart people out there. But still, that, you know what I'm saying here. All right, why the difference between someone who is sour in life and someone who is joyful? I believe that the joyful, steadfast Christian has found the secret expressed in the scriptures, and that's where we all need to be. We need to have that joy that we find in the scriptures and keep that secret alive, because everybody behaves differently in a situation. They can have the same situation, but you know, and you've seen it, you've seen people who get out and curse and swear when something happens, and others say just, oh well, and what's the difference there? One place this secret is found is in Romans 12:12, as we just read. And so, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So as we consider this verse, there are several observations we can make. First of all, the joyful life is based on hope. We have hope. When you take someone's hope away, they have nothing to live for. They have nothing to look forward to. And we talked about hope last week. And so many have the wrong concept concerning joy. And it can be expressed this way. Joy is a matter of personal temperament, and sometimes it's within your hereditary. Some people are nice, bubbly personalities. Other people, just sour people. And we just have to deal with that. And sometimes when people are sour and they have display a certain type of disposition, you kind of tread on eggshells around them, because you don't want to set them off or anything like that. And so sometimes it is that way. But the joy can also be because of a matter of circumstances, which is our environment. I mean, the circumstances we're in. If we're going along, if we didn't have all this garbage going on today, we'd probably have more people in here today. And we wouldn't be concerned about this stuff. And it's our environment kind of dictates what goes on. But how can that be when being joyful is enjoined upon all of us? Remember, I said the scripture says we're supposed to be joyful, right? Peace, joy, and love, the fruit of the Spirit. It's all things we're supposed to do. It is a command. It is a duty. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. And we should be doing that. Philippians 4:4, I say rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. And so it's commanded us that we rejoice, that we have joy in our lives. And when we let the world get in the way, we have difficulty doing that, right? We can't really, you turn on the news today, there's nothing joyful about it. I mean, so sometimes we just have to, okay, click off the news, we'll watch a movie, we'll watch Arnold Schwarzenegger kill 1,000 people and enjoy that. But anyway, we're commanded even when things are rough. And that's what Peter talked about, the joy set before us, because things are going to get tough, but we can still have joy. And we need to find out how we can have this joy. Well, it's because it's based on the hope that we have. See, true joy is able to rise above the circumstances of life. Even when things don't look good, people who have cancer can still demonstrate joy. People who have a deadly illness, they can still have a joyful life. I mean, they may be hurting, they may be in pain, their physical pain might be very excruciating maybe. But they have something that the rest of the world doesn't have, and that is hope. And they can rise above these circumstances. See, we see in the Hebrews 10:34, like we read. I mean, their homes were being taken away from them. Their property was being seized. And they were suffering horrible persecution. And the writer says, you know, you do this with joy because you know there's something better for you. As Christians, we know there's something better in store for us. And even if the world does turn against us, even if the government does turn against us, we still have God on our side. And we have a home in heaven waiting for us. Our challenge is to remain strong in that hope as opposed to giving up and say, well, I don't have that hope anymore. So, also we find the Christians in Asia Minor, as Peter is talking about, some of you are going to be cast into prison. Some of you are suffering persecution now, and you might as well be aware of this. Everyone who's a Christian is going to suffer persecution. That's what Paul said there in 2 Timothy 3:12. Anyone who desires to live godly will suffer persecution. And this is because the key to joy is hope. If there's no hope, then there's not going to be any joy. So, rejoicing in hope. That's what's written in our text here. Rejoicing in hope. Now, it should be easy to see how hope is the source of joy in our lives. We can see it. You know, a student in hope of enjoying summer vacation is happy as he thinks about it, looking forward to it. For a lot of students now, their vacation got here a lot earlier. And they think it's happiness and joy. Try explaining that to mommy and daddy, yeah, who have to stay home with them. But still, I mean, it's something to look forward to. And it was the strong hope of the Hebrews that gave them joy despite the seizure of their property. And they had it because there's something better than this life has to offer. Again, the source of the Christian joy in Asia Minor was their hope of salvation. That's what Peter has explained to them. We have a hope far better than anything this world has to offer. And so we have the hope of salvation. To be joyful in life, we must have hope. And if Christians are not joyful, it is because they are not full of hope. And think about that next time you see a sourpuss. And just ask them, do they have any hope? And that is only because their minds are so preoccupied with things of this life. And that's true. Too many times we let the things of this life dictate how we behave, how we respond. We let people around us dictate how we're going to behave and respond. And so for these people, it appears they are just religious enough to be miserable. And that's true. There's a lot like that. There's some that they don't want to give up the world, but yet they know they have to be religious, so God will accept them. But the balance of trying to figure out, well, how do I get along with this? How can I enjoy the world and yet still be faithful to God? And so these people really are miserable. Because they're fighting that. They're trying to straddle the fence. And anybody who's ever tried to straddle the fence has found out it's very painful, right? That's true. get a lot of scratches, a lot of cuts, and it's just downright painful. All right, if they spent more time contemplating the hope we have as Christians, joy would automatically follow. Because the more we think about heaven, where we're supposed to have our minds, right? Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. Set your mind on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, not on the things of this earth. Yes, if we thought about, my home is in heaven. We're just temporary here, and we have to realize that. If we don't, then we're going to be all upset. Of course, hope is based on faith. We know that. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that. And our faith comes from the Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And of course, now that more people are literate, yeah, faith can also come by reading the Word of God. And so, if people do not read the Word, their faith is weak. Their hope is shallow, and their joy is minimal. I mean, let's face it, that's the way it is. All right, if we let God's Word produce the faith necessary for a strong hope, then we too can have that joy which will help us no matter what the circumstances are. You know, Jesus despised the shame of the cross and took with joy before him. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 tells us that. He endured the cross with joy. Why? Because he knew what it was going to accomplish. It was going to accomplish our salvation. So this leads us back to our text where we wish to make another observation. A life of joyful hope will be patient in tribulation. You know, there are some people, you kind of upset them and they're going to lash out at you, right? They're going to scream at you. They're going to holler at you. They might even punch you in the nose. And some people, you know, well, I don't want to take a chance with that. But yet, a lot of times, things happen to us that we really don't like, but yet we just have to deal with it. See, first, let's define our terms. The idea of patience means more than simply enduring, forbearing, or putting up with something. The idea of patience, I mean, goes more than that. It takes into the thought of activity despite the hardship, working through the trial. I mean, we face these things. We get a flat tire, what are we going to do? Oh, woe is me, what can I do? Just wait for it. No, you either hope you know how to fix a tire, or you're going to hire somebody who knows how to fix a tire and do it for you. But still, you just can't sit back and say, oh, all is lost, I can't do anything now. No, you got to get busy and do something. Sometimes it's necessary to do it quickly. And it is continuing to do good regardless of the trials. That's another thing we have to consider. We can go and do what everybody else is doing, like panicking in the grocery stores. They're going crazy out there. And why? Because of various reasons. But one person starts panicking. Guess what? That's contagious. The next person starts panicking and goes on and on until the whole world's in a panic. I'm just wondering if all of a sudden these people are going to have the panicking. Instead of stopping at the register, they're just going to keep going without stopping. I mean, that's a possibility. That's called looting, if you want to consider that. But still, when people are in a panic, they're liable to do anything. People panic when the situation becomes dire. So, we're not just sitting there, but we're also refraining from doing something bad. And that's the point here. We're not going to do that. Now, talk about tribulations. What are tribulations? These could be trials suffered for the cause of Christ. Because we're Christians, people pick on us. Because we're Christians, people make fun of us. Sometimes they're throwing obstacles in our way. Sometimes they're trying to entice us to join them into some sinful activity. And these are trials that we all have to face from time to time. Or we could be facing the tribulations of those common to all people, like sickness and death and plague and stuff like that. It's all common to everybody. These can also be called tribulations. Paul is therefore talking about pressing on and doing good despite the hardships, despite what they are. And we know these things happen. See, the key to such patience is joyful hope. Once again, it gets back to our subject here. How can we have joyful hope? We need that patience. And it can be illustrated in several ways. See, the athlete. Why does he or she endure the hardship of training? Because the joyful hope of attaining victory. That's what they want. The pilgrims. They encountered the hardships of sailing across the ocean and establishing a new community. Why did they do it? They did it for the joyful hope of finding freedom from religious oppression. The college student. Why does he or she endure the hardships of study and examinations and all this time put in? Because of the joyful hope of a successful career. What you work for is what you hope for, and you hope to have success doing it. So you're going to put in the effort and the trying to do your best. The early Christians, what do they have to hope for? Why did they endure persecutions? Pressing on in their faithfulness to Christ. Why did they do that? I mean, they had a choice, right? They could choose not to endure that persecution just by becoming part of the world again. See, they did it because of the joyful hope of their inheritance in heaven. Hebrews 10:34. That's what he's talking about. You had your property seized, but you did it with joy because you have something better. That's what he tells us. See, does this not explain why some Christians do not remain steadfast when things get rough? That's true. They're not strong, faithful Christians when the going gets tough. When people start picking on them, they kind of shy away from those things. The reason is they do not have joyful hope. They don't have the necessary hope that they need. And why not? Their minds are so preoccupied with worldly things. See, how many times we talk about worldly things getting in the way? Like I said, our minds should be set on heaven and spiritual thoughts instead of these worldly things. I mean, we can be worried about our savings account, our bank account, paying the bills and stuff like that, or going out and having fun with our friends, or going out and eating in a restaurant. Sometimes that stuff is taken away from us. We're not allowed to do that. And one last observation I would like to make based on our text. Our lives will be as hopeful and joyful and patient as they are prayerful. See, we can't leave prayer out of the formula for any reason. We cannot do it. Continuing steadfastly in prayer is essential. See, the relationship between prayer and the joyful life is implied elsewhere in scriptures. See 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And then praying to God for what we need. Asking God to take care of us. That's what we need. And yes, we give our thanks to God for providing for us. He allowed us to wake up this morning. Thank God for that. And he allowed us to be here at church. Thank God for that. And we're going to continue doing that as long as we're allowed to do that. See, if we pray without ceasing, we can rejoice always. Because that prayer is our lifeline with God. It's our communication with God. That's our acknowledgement. Yes, but God, I believe you're real. I believe you're listening to my prayers. And so we need that. For in proper prayer, we are constantly reminded of our hope, the source of joy and patience. Because we have hope. What do we hope for? God, help me get to heaven. That's what we're asking for all the time. Help me avoid the things that get in the way of going to heaven. We should be asking for that as well. In prayer, we should be made constantly aware of the reason for our hope. What is it? It's the forgiveness of our sins. If we have sins, we cannot go to heaven. So we're constantly asking God to forgive us of our sins. And that is the reason for our hope. Because we have our sins forgiven through the blood of Jesus. In prayer, we should be made constantly aware of the object of our hope. To one day be with God eternally. That's what our hope should be. And that's what we should be focused on. And all this other stuff that goes on in life should be secondary to our hope of going to heaven. And if we really want to go to heaven, we will take the steps necessary to live the life necessary in order to get there. Pray without ceasing. Is this possible? Some people have asked that question over the years. They read it, pray without ceasing. And I can't spend my whole time in prayer. Well, let's face it. If we mean formal words of supplication and petition, like we stand up in front of the assembly and we offer prayer, a prayer that never ends. I know when we were kids, there was old certain brother so-and-so that said long prayers that, oh man, will this ever end? We did that, right? I see the smiles. Everybody recognize that, yes. But no. We don't have to do that. Prayer does not always have to be with formal words either. See, in 1 Chronicles 5:20, talking about the sons of Reuben who went out and they were in battle and they cried unto the Lord. In the midst of battle, they took the time to, Lord, help us. And don't we do the same thing sometimes? When we're in a situation where we're getting concerned about our health and welfare and safety, Lord, help us. Remember Peter? He got out. He was walking on the water until he took his eyes off Jesus and then saw the waves, started to sink. Lord, save me. Lord, look out for me. Lord, protect me. We have to say that before when we crank up the car and start out onto the street. Lord, help me out here. I mean, it's there. And we see something. I know I'm guilty of this. I look up if I see a life flight helicopter, said, Lord, be with them. Linda has a thing that if some idiot passes real quickly on the road, there's danger in other lives, said, Lord, help them get to where they're going safely. Every time I get in a plane, Lord, help this pilot get home tonight. So that's going to be my safety if he does that. So, as we go through this day, the idea of pray without ceasing means always having that attitude. And sometimes we do things without thinking and realize I shouldn't have done that. Like say you're nailing something and you hit the wrong nail and you blurt out something. Oops. Lord, I shouldn't have said that. Forgive me. We should always have that attitude. And we should always know that what God wants, we should be trying to do that. And if we don't do it, forgive me. See, prayer can also be a mental attitude of devotion. As we sit down and contemplate God and think about what He has to offer, prayer can keep us in that attitude. And if we have an attitude of devotion, thinking about something, either a daily reading we might have available to us, or just opening the scriptures and reading daily, or studying a particular subject, that is all included in this. In Ephesians 6, when he talks about prayer, or when he talks about putting on the armor of God, you know, he talked about the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, feet shod for the preparation, the sword of the Spirit. And it ends up, verse 18, with prayer. Putting all this on with prayer. Prayer is a very important part of our armor. And we must remember that. Sometimes just the unspoken reference to God in all that we do. When we see the beautiful weather, the beauty of nature. God did that. And we have to recognize that. And sometimes we may not even say it in the form of a prayer. Look at the beautiful nature God has done for us. I mean, that's giving Him praise and glory, even though we're not, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this. When our mind is focused on God and keeping in touch with God, then yes, we don't even have to start off the prayer, dear Heavenly Father. We start talking, because who else are we going to be talking to? Are our lives as joyful and productive as they should be? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Do I have that joy in my life? Am I productive as a child of God? And can it be better? Obviously, the correct answer is, it can always be better. Do the best you can, though. See, if not, let God's word sink into your hearts. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, as we read there in Romans 12:12. Do this, and we will more likely rejoice in hope and be patient in tribulations. So, hopefully this morning you have learned the key to the joyful living. And God gives it to us. Everything God gives us is good, right? And He tells us how to be joyful. All we have to do is listen to God. Study God's word, and we'll find that out. So that's our lesson for this morning. Consider these thoughts, and we will sing an invitation song if anyone has a need to respond. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.